Before you tuck into this lovely podcast, you may be warned that there are words that you may not wish to hear. Some of these words may be a little sweary, so if you have a toddler nearby, place them in a different room and remove any elderly people from the nearby area. These words may include, but not be limited to...
Now that you know that there will be much swearing in the podcast, it would also be useful for you to note that there may be some technical glitches because Ricky and Steve, the producers, made a mess up. So, let's enjoy.
Every time I cooked kidneys, they taste like wee. Help.
If you were sat on your sofa of a Saturday night watching shit Saturday night telly, this spread is like exactly what you want to be like picking away at.
No, it's not.
I don't know if I'm a cruncher or a melter. I think I'm a bit of both.
I'm a cruncher.
I think I initially crunch and then I melt. There you go.
Don't talk with your mouth full. Unless you're talking about food, in which case it's useful. And that's just what we're about to do. It's all the Billy and Michael, and they're cutting every tip so vital.
That tastes great.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 3 of the A Bit of a Mouthful podcast. This week we will be talking about gram flour, cart door boxes, Harry Potter's sizable bedroom, do kidneys smell like piss? Undercooking, is it a crime? Sharp knives, what's the best sound in cooking? Are poached eggs rubbish? Do Wetherspoons have a perfect breakfast? My name is Michael, I am the Ops Director of Mob Kitchen at Mob Kitchen, and I'm joined by...
Sophie, Head of Food at Mob.
Willie, I'm Will, hello.
And a big Willie.
And a big Willie.
Let's crack on.
What we had for dinner last night.
What we had for dinner last night.
All right, Sophie, what did you have for dinner last night?
So I had another day yesterday where we had a really intense filming day in the studio where everything was cheese and potato. There was tartar flat, there was brownies, there was all sorts.
Christ.
And then I got home and was like, I can't even think about eating. But then I remembered one of the freshest, bestest dinners you can have, which is, I don't know if you guys ever keep this at home, but gram flour.
Yeah, I think I've got a bit.
It's so cheap and it tastes great. It's gluten-free and... Gram flour, it's chickpea flour.
Oh, okay.
You mix it with some water to make a batter and you make pancakes.
Oh.
I think they're called pudla. They're like Indian pancakes. You normally put spices in them and stuff, but I just did gram flour water. And then I made just like a really quick chickpea and spinach curry and put it inside. Ooh. Bit of yolk, bit of coriander.
That sounds
done.
Lovely. Is gram flour really fine?
Yeah, super fine. It's
so
quite yellow
and
really fine.
Could you use
really
it
fine.
To fry chicken? Would Ooh, it be good
that
for
is
frying
such
chicken?
A shout. Give it a go.
Yeah.
No, I reckon it would be.
Because if it's super fine, then probably
yeah,
crispier, wouldn't it?
It goes super crispy and it tastes of so much more than plain flour or corn flour. Mm. Shit, that's such a good idea.
That's what we'll
Can
do.
Can you do it that, and get
gonna,
back to
I'm
going to
have that for dinner. Although I did have a fried chicken burger last week. I'm going to have that for dinner next Thursday. And then I'll come back and you'll already know.
That's so clever.
That's what I have for dinner.
There's
that's
a thing
genius.
Called Chicken 65, which is Indian fried chicken with loads of spices in it.
That
Maybe that
nice.
Has gram flour in it.
Yeah.
We can investigate
We'll have
this.
To look into that.
If any of you listening know, then tell
Hit
us.
Hit us up. Hit us up.
On the Instagram page.
If you fried chicken with the gram flour.
Michael, what did you have for dinner?
Last night I had leftover dal, which was actually great. But I made dal with, so I did the dishoom dal,
Ooh,
which is a black dal, but I
oh,
didn't
God, it's
because
so good.
I didn't realise that I had to boil the, what are they called? The black
the
dal.
The urad dal.
Urad dal for about 8 hours.
It takes like
hours.
3 days to
yeah.
make that dal, but it's
so
worth it.
So I didn't do that and I just made it with red lentils. But then I used double cream, which is dishoom do, and I just think it's a bit too intense, that.
Is it
oh,
really?
No,
is,
I'm so
is
into
it. Super,
cream
super
everything.
Rich.
Super rich. I mean, it was really nice, but I feel like I want my dal to sort of be healthy-ish.
I think there's a time and a place for each, isn't there?
Yeah.
If you want a fresh dal, you want a tarka dal with just like loads of garlic and coriander.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going for a more indulgent curry, a black dal is so good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you're just having a bowl of one, maybe a fresher dal is better.
Yeah, well, a dal...
I don't know.
I mean, dal is one of the meals that I think is maybe better as leftovers. I think
yeah,
it's
agreed.
So easy to reheat
yeah.
and it tastes... And you haven't just slaved away making it. Which brings me on to the question, are leftovers better than the initial eating?
Really depends on what it
depends
is.
Depends on what it is. Any like meat bolognese, ragu, anything like that, it's actually extraordinary how much better it tastes after it's gone in the fridge and then been heated up mm-hmm. the next day. Like
100%.
I did a beef shin ragu. And it was good. Like I cooked it for 5 hours. it was nice, like really, really tasty. And we ate it straight away, and I was like, oh, I'll pop this in the thing. And we've got, me and my housemate, basically, we have shitloads of empty cart door boxes. Ooh. Not because we always eat loads of ice cream, but because a friend of ours, a lovely lady called Deborah, her husband eats a tub of ice cream like every night, basically.
Seriously?
He's not fat either. He does like skydiving and stuff. And he really has to be. Like,
what else anyway, does he eat?
Just ice cream. And whatever Debs has cooked. And anyway, yeah, so she always brings us cart door boxes. So everything goes in a cart door box and goes in the fridge for leftovers. And yeah, so got the cart door box out the next day. It was good. Got the cart door box out the day after. And it, even that, it was like...
Even better.
Intensely more flavoursome.
But I always also think that once you've cooked something, if you eat it straight afterwards, you've sort of got all the aromas and the flavours like up in you. You're so bored of it.
You don't appreciate it as much. You've tasted it so much cooking it. You're like, I don't even want it anymore.
Exactly. And then if you have it as leftovers, you also get the added bonus of the fact you haven't just slaved over it and there's no washing up and it's brilliant.
I pretty much always have dal in the freezer, actually.
Oh, really?
Make like a big dal every time and then freeze. Even if it's like two portions each time.
It's not a bad idea.
It's a good lunch. If you're working from home, defrost a little portion of dal.
Is that a thing, like always having something in the freezer? Because I've got a weird... Like, do you, Michael, always have like a something in the freezer?
I do. Yeah. I always have veggie burgers.
Okay.
Because
really?
I never cook them. So they're just always there. I think I've had the same veggie burgers.
So it's more because they're horrible?
No, it's not because they're horrible. It's just because, you know, there are things in the freezer that they're just like... They're part of the furniture.
Yeah,
I'm not going to cook that because what if I need that later?
When I was at uni, there was a very good friend of mine, a girl called Daisy, and we lived together in second and third year. And for some reason, I never saw her eat this ever. For 2 years, I lived with her. It was 3 years if you count first year, but we were in catered halls. Second and third year, two or three pots of frozen haddock chowder in the freezer.
How long does that last in the freezer?
Well, seemingly fucking forever because she had like...
Would she top up before she'd finished?
I don't know. I still don't know. I don't think I ever saw her eat it. And it's I'd consider that to be something that you probably eat when you're quite sick, you know? She was sick all the time, and I never saw her touch.
It's quite secular, isn't it? It's because she's got really old chowder, which is making her sick, and then she's trying to eat that to get better.
It's the frozen haddock chowder.
Yeah.
I think fish in the freezer is one of the things that I do not want to be there for more than like 2 months. Some things like a dal, I'll eat that 6 months later. Mm. But if it's like, I don't know, a fish chowder,
haddock.
Some nice frozen smoked haddock. Mm. I don't know why. I should probably know this. Is that safe?
This wasn't on the list of questions when you applied for the mob job, was it?
What did you have for dinner last night, Will?
Tegan cooked me dinner last night. My lovely girlfriend. She cooked me some dinner. She made me a steak and some Dauphinoise potatoes.
Jesus.
Yeah, I got treated good last night. I was quite stressed out because of the landlord situation. So... She was like, right, I'm going to make you dinner.
What is the landlord situation?
The landlord situation is that I would like to move to a place with a nicer kitchen so that I can make...
How dare you?
So I can make nicer cooking videos. And also, when I moved into the flat with Tom, my current housemate, I wasn't doing very well for myself. Not that I'm doing amazingly now, but you know, I was doing nowhere near. I was not doing well. I wasn't doing great at all. And
in a really dark place.
I was in not a dark place. Like actually, north facing or whatever. So I get a lot of the sun.
Oh, lovely, very good.
The room is literally, it makes Harry Potter's little cupboard under the stairs look like a palace.
Well, I mean, Harry Potter's room under the stairs is a palace. I always didn't really get that. I was like, you should be lucky to be indoors, really, Harry.
Yeah.
So self-entitled, that little prick.
He's just in a bedroom upstairs. And they never talk about it.
Yeah.
He's been banging on about the cupboard under the stairs.
Yeah.
And they've moved him upstairs.
Oh, look.
They come and rescue him from the window.
Yeah, it's
and
like...
He's not even their child.
And it's a
they're
big
looking
bedroom,
after him.
That one.
They're giving him all this stuff. And look, maybe they had to renovate that room. Maybe it wasn't even a bedroom before.
It was actually Dudley's playroom, I believe.
Oh, really?
Was it?
I've not read the books, but I'm pretty sure I've listened to the audio tapes. So.
But your steak and Dauphinoise, very nice.
Steak and Dauphinoise, fantastic.
A good trade-off,
No, it was actually really good. And one of the reasons that it was so good is because I'd made a prawn linguine with a garlic bread crumb at the beginning of the week. And I made too much of the garlic bread crumb, which is effectively just breadcrumbs that are garlic bread that were like garlicky croutons that got blitzed with Parmesan. Real nice. And then so we had loads of that left over. So we did the dauphinoise and then poured all the bread, like a load of the breadcrumbs over the top and then grilled it. So it was like super crispy on top with like really garlicky, creamy potatoes underneath.
It's Jesus like a crispy Christ. Outside your USP. Like, I feel like a lot of the things you make has a crispy
I think outer. Texture's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soft in the inside and crunchy on the outside yeah. is always a nice thing.
I do put crumbs on quite a lot of things that I yeah. cook. Crumbs just make everything better.
Well,
basic pasta, add a crumb. Shit.
Yes.
So nice.
A bit of crumb in there. And
oh, yeah. Bit of rosemary, bit of olive oil, yes. bit of garlic.
Yes.
Bit of breadcrumbs. Done.
Very I delicious. Did. This is actually a tip that I got from Thomasina Myers, the Oaxaca founder. She came and did a guest mob. We do Taco Tuesday at my house. I think we spoke about this last week.
We did indeed.
We did indeed. How was Taco Saturday?
Taco. Oh, my God. Don't even get me started. But I did. I brought it back. Taco Tuesday. Carnitas, the whole thing.
Mm.
I don't
they
think that this
good.
Is what you're supposed to do, but you basically just grate loads of cheddar, put it in a pan and just fry it and fry it and fry it until it gets really, really crispy. Then let it cool down, flake it, like break it up and then sprinkle it on tacos. Oh. It's that like cheddary oh. crunch.
I don't know if the so window's good. Open, but I just shivered. Like that made me,
so
that made
good.
Me
Honestly,
shudder.
Well, it's quite scary the amount of oil that comes out of cheddar, but then you put that oil in with the meat.
Yeah.
You've just got cheesy. Just
oh, goodness
and
gracious.
And then you've just got crispy cheese goodness. It's
yeah.
so good.
Yeah, that does sound real oh, nice.
If you God. Watch the Oaxaca mushroom tacos video on some sort of mob kitchen website or whatever, something like that, you'll see that. Cool. Anyway, that's what we have for dinner last night. I think we should probably move swiftly on to Sophie Says.
You need to get it off your chest.
Get it off your chest and hear what Sophie says.
Excellent. I've opened up the Sophie Says questions, put my feelers out, and I got some good ones back. First up, we've got a moral dilemma.
Oh no.
From a man called Henry.
Wait, what was it? Was there like a particular question or was it just...
Well, I asked if people had had baking disasters, what they were and if they'd like me to help
specific
them sort
baking,
it out.
Specific...
Sorry, not baking disasters, cooking disasters.
Oh, okay, because baking does. Everyone's had a baking disaster. No, baking's difficult.
It's more of a moral dilemma than it is a cooking disaster.
Okay.
I'll get to it. Harry, sorry, that's not his name. Henry has asked us, I bought a naughty mix for my vegan girlfriend and didn't realise until after we ate it.
Yes, I love
Do
this.
Do I tell her?
This is such, I've heard this a few times. It's so
Have
tricky.
You done it before?
I don't think I have because I don't hang out with vegans. But
what about
on
like, you know,
on principle.
But you know, like chicken stock in the soup and a vegetarian
yes.
there. Or
I know I've never.
I accidentally made a lasagna with pancetta in it, and my sister's ex-boyfriend was Muslim,
Ooh.
And I didn't realise
yeah,
until he was eating it.
What well, did you say? Oh, wow, that's on a podcast.
It's not
now.
Good.
Well, now he's going to listen to the podcast.
I am so sorry if you're listening to this.
Oh, my
There's
goodness.
My confession. It's out there.
That's terrible.
If I could turn back the clocks, I would tell him. But...
It was delicious.
He liked it.
He's there going, this is the tastiest bloody carbonara I've ever had.
To be honest, it's one of those things where sometimes I think getting it off your chest, I don't know if it's self-serving and it's just making yourself feel better about it. If someone's going to be really upset and you didn't realise until
yeah.
after and it was an honest
Ignorance
mistake.
Ignorance is bliss sometimes.
I Ignorance think so.
Is sometimes.
I don't know if that makes me a really terrible person and this is bad advice, bad agony.
I was a vegetarian for a while once.
Were
and,
you?
Yeah.
When?
At uni. I was a vegetarian
minute.
For like about a year. And I sort of just, basically we went to the cinema and we were buying snacks and I just like randomly bought a big bag of those, what are those like chicken pieces? Those really weird like...
Oh they look like fridge
Yeah, like
fridge
raiders.
Yeah.
And I was just like halfway through the pack in the cinema and my mate was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh my God. I just walked into the supermarket, bought some fridge raiders, and then it was just eating them. I don't
Why
know.
Why did you break it on a fridge raider?
It's so weird.
Get a
Maybe
pepperami,
something
at least.
Like subconscious. Back that big time.
Pepperami.
If you're going to have a meaty treat, if you're going to have a shit meaty treat,
yeah.
well, not shit, but you know, one that's not really good
for you.
A hot
pepperami.
Horribly processed.
Ooh.
A hot pepperami.
Why not?
Are you insane?
Do you just want a regular?
I just like a regular cold one.
Hot ones are good.
Do you know, I used to like a regular one. I don't mean in the microwave. I mean a spicy pepperami.
Oh, fuck. No, that's what I thought you meant. I thought you were fucking there frying up pepperamis.
Do you know,
like, come
my
on,
mum...
Man, they're conveniently there.
My
so
mum
you can just
used
pop
to make...
them out in your mouth like that. Why would you fry
that's
the fuck
That's
up?
A great recipe idea.
My
hot
mum,
pepperami
my
stick.
My mum used to make something delicious. She used to slice pepperami and fry it. and put in like rice and onions and chopped tomatoes, and it was kind of like a pepperami risotto. Well, I mean, my terrible advice is that, well, I feel like I half answered and I've forgotten kind of what I said.
You were kind of saying that you think that
it's self-serving to get it off your chest sometimes. Mm. It depends. Yeah, I kind of think ignorance, if it was an honest mistake, you haven't kind of maliciously poisoned your girlfriend with a non-vegan brownie box, then I might just keep shtum, to be honest. Mm. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, because it'll, like, it's, you know, it's been ingested. The
she'll
deed
be,
is
she'll
done.
Be upset. There's nothing that you can do to take
probably,
it back.
I would probably say.
Oh, wow.
I think I just... Like, just because as soon as I clocked that I'd done it,
with the guilt, you'd wait,
I'd feel guilty, and you can't not feel like, as you say, like it's like a self serving thing, but like, I think feeling guilty about it is there's only one way to get over that, and that's to actually tell a person.
Maybe you'd wait until you're on your romantic holiday, lovely sunset, having dinner, and you're like, by the way,
everything needs to be perfect.
Like, hey, I have something to tell
get
you,
down
something
on one
to
knee.
Ask you. I have something to ask you, get down on one knee,
Do you know what was a non-vegan brownie mix tastes like? And then they look down at you and they say, what are you on about? No, I don't.
Whilst being serenaded.
Actually, you do. And then Ashton Kutcher jumps out and is like, you've just been pranked!
Yeah, exactly. This whole moment was up for that. Everyone's like, everyone in the restaurant's a paid actor.
Didn't see that one coming, did you?
And then you just
so many animals died for your brownies.
Well, there we go. That's the answer. Take her on holiday and tell her romantically.
Yeah, it's basically...
Tell her. Sorry.
Yeah, it's two for don't tell her, one for romantic holiday, and do it in a very dramatic fashion.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway, next one.
Next one. This is an interesting one from Luke. He says, every time I cooked kidneys, they taste like wee. Help.
That's got to be bullshit.
Okay, so...
That is definitely someone taking
kidneys,
the piss.
Kidneys don't taste that good. This is a semi-hot take. It depends how you feel about offal. Kidneys do have quite an awfully, almost urine-like taste. I think when you cook kidneys, you have to put them with a fairly strong flavour. Like, I know that Fergus Henderson does deviled kidneys, so it's
nice.
Mustard and Worcester sauce to kind of mask the weeness.
I don't think they do taste like wee. I think they taste weird, but I've never eaten a kidney and thought that tastes like piss.
I'll tell you what smells like piss. Have you ever had that?
Your
like...
house?
Nice. No, that's brilliant. That's quality stuff. Wow, we're getting laughs from everyone. No, it's like there's like this German sort of like brown bread that my mum loves.
It's
pumpernickel. Yeah.
Yep.
Stinks of piss.
Pumpernickel bread is disgusting.
Yeah, it stinks of piss.
Really?
Oh yeah. My mum would be like,
I've never thought it would be packed lunch.
Would be like hummus and pumpernickel, and just like, oh, it stinks of piss.
Mum, no.
It just stinks of piss.
Me and my mate went on a bit of a trip round Europe in October after we finished uni, and we went to Cologne and we went to this beer hall, and it was like, it was really nice, like had a really good time, and we were like, okay, we'll get some like proper food, and obviously like a big thing over in Germany is like a pork knee, so you have like a slow cooked pork knee, and we were like, but it was like 50 euros or something. We were like,
what?
Oh, it's day
why
two
was it
of,
50
it
euros?
Was just really expensive. We were like, oh, it's day two of the trip, like maybe let's not spend loads of money. So we're like, oh, we'll just get a few like little bits or whatever, and so we ordered this. It was like liver sausage. The guy was like, oh, it's like, I can't do German right now. But he was like, oh, it's like pâté. I'm like, oh, yeah, I could do pâté. I've had 15 small beers. I'll do a bit of pâté right now. That'd be great. And he turns up and it's basically black pudding, cold, which is gross.
I love black pudding.
I don't want to eat cold black pudding. And served with fucking pumpernickel bread. So it's just like the shittiest thing that's ever
and pumpernickel bread.
No, this was black, but actually, I've just no, but we've actually gone off. We've gone off on a tangent here.
Well, I guess the question I was going to ask you guys: what are your thoughts about offal in general? Because lots of people don't like kidneys anyway. How do you feel about?
I don't really have any thoughts on offal.
You like liver? You like kidneys?
I really like offal.
I mean, where does haggis sit in this conversation?
Yeah, it's awful.
I love haggis.
I fucking love haggis.
I've never eaten haggis.
Oh,
you would love it. Oh, okay.
Show and tell and smell next week.
We'll get some haggis.
No, it's going to have to be in like 6 weeks' time, so it's a surprise.
Yes.
That's the point.
Haggis meat and tatties.
Throw me off guard. Oh, by the way, Will, you might have said a few weeks ago.
Haggis is so... Maybe we have to get someone in.
Most of the times I've had conversations about haggis with people who aren't Scottish, to be fair, they've said they don't like haggis.
Well, people bitch about offal in general, I feel.
What is haggis made of?
I think it's stomach.
Okay. I've never eaten stomach.
It's intestines, and no, because stomach's tripe, isn't it? I think haggis might be intestines.
You can't beat a steak and kidney pie. Like kidneys in a steak and kidney pie is like that's a serious thing.
Yeah. Like to be honest, I don't love kidneys. I don't know if that makes me a philistine.
Well, it's because you think they taste like piss.
I've never eaten kidneys.
If I thought something tasted like piss, I wouldn't be a fan of it.
I like liver. Mm. I like heart. I like tongue. I like all those things.
Oh, my God.
I like haggis. I've not had tripe.
Have you ever had chicken heart or duck heart?
Yes, duck heart skewers. There was a place... I think they now have a place in Hackney called Bong Bongs, which is Filipino food. Mm. They used to have a street food truck.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was called, something barbecue. And they used to do these duck heart skewers with this really delicious sauce.
It's so delicious. Oh, yeah. It's so nice because it's not awfully really. It's not got like
It's
that.
Really meaty.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm just going to do a quick disclaimer for what we just talked about for all the vegans listening. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, yeah. Apologies. Yeah. Apologies. What was the question? Oh, kidney smells of wee. Yeah, well, like, deal with it or just stop eating it. That would be my answer.
I think maybe you don't like kidneys.
Yeah, that's fine.
Which is fine. You're allowed to not like kidneys.
It's like, he says it as also, though he's done it so many
times.
Yeah,
no, that's
just
what I was
doing.
Thinking.
Like,
why is this person making kidneys so often? No one makes kidneys, like, so often to have, like, been like, oh, well, I'm just not sure if I like them.
I keep eating tomatoes and I just don't like them. Yeah. What can I do about that?
Okay, solution, if you want to keep eating them, but, you know, you just want to persevere, you do that, Luke, you do you. Mm. Then maybe look up Fergus Henderson's deviled kidneys recipe.
Nice.
I reckon that will mask the wee flavour.
Wow.
And let me know how it goes.
Great. Is there any more? Any more for Sophie Says?
There can be if you...
Let's do one quick one.
Let's rattle off another one.
Why not?
So Lizzie has asked us, I made a birthday cake and it sunk in the middle like a vortex when it came out the oven. What happened? I can tell you what happened, Lizzie. It wasn't cooked enough.
Yeah.
When you're cooking a cake, you have to keep the oven door shut until it's really, really nearly done because otherwise all the heat escapes and your cake will sink.
Although sometimes a slightly undercooked cake, once it's cooled and you get that dense density in the... I think it depends on the kind of cake.
With a brownie, sure.
Oh, my God.
No, but with like a sort of like
brownie,
an apple... No, what's that?
Like
was it a Mirasoda recipe recently?
Oh, yeah.
The apple...
The one in The Guardian. It was a vegan apple cake.
Oh, that needs
me
to be
and
a
Michael
bit undercooked.
Both made.
Yeah, no, I didn't make it. My housemate, Matt, the one, the dickhead that pushed back Taco Tuesday. He did it. So actually,
redeeming feature, he made a good cake.
Yeah.
What's his name, sorry?
Matthew.
Matthew, you want to be listening to... I hope you're listening to the podcast right now.
He better be.
He's definitely not.
A steaming hot pile of food based takes.
Okay, so time for us to jump over to hot takes. I have a hot take that I hadn't even prepped. This is just another one that I've thought of. Can people who aren't very good at cooking stop thinking that they can not follow recipes and get away with it? Dad. I just hate it. It's like, this didn't work. Why? Because the oven wasn't hot enough, or because I bought and put the wrong thing in it. Does that not happen with you? And it's just like, why have you done that? The recipe's there for a reason.
Wait,
you're cake person.
You're saying that the problem that you have is that people that can't cook don't follow recipes.
Well, recipes are there to help you build confidence, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're starting
that.
Out cooking, get a recipe book, go on mobkitchen.co.uk
or one of
the other food websites, whatwillycook.com, and just follow those recipes to the letter.
Yes,
they're normally written in a way that is intended so that if you know not the slightest about food, there isn't a way that you can go wrong. And then once you've done it a few times, you can go, I think maybe a pinch of rosemary would be nice in there, or I don't have any cayenne pepper, maybe I'll just add a little bit of chili powder.
Yeah.
You can go off piste once you've got the knowledge that you get from cooking lots of times.
It's I just get frustrated when someone says, like, oh, it didn't work, it's so annoying, and you're like, why? And then they say, oh, I just didn't do the recipe, I didn't follow the recipe.
Well, I turned the oven on halfway through when I'd put the thing.
Oh, I substituted everything for something else. I was like, oh yeah, that's why it doesn't taste
good. I used jam instead of milk.
There's just no shame in following a recipe. Yeah. I regularly follow recipes because other people are really good at cooking and you don't always know best. Even when you're good at cooking, you can always be better.
What I've learned from working at Mob is that I think the key trait to a good cook, especially when you're learning, is patience. Always cook the thing for a bit longer than you think. Undercooking things is a crime.
Undercooking onions.
Undercooking onions.
Ooh.
Yeah.
grim.
Ooh, just keep,
no,
just,
I don't
it should
that.
Be taking you 10 to like 10 minutes to cook your
minimum
onions.
Minimum 10 minutes exactly. To cook an onion. Otherwise, they're like burnt on the outside, raw on the inside. It's disgusting. No one wants it.
And also cooking,
soft.
Cooking with water as well, adding water to, you know, not let things burn to keep the temperature regulated.
100%.
I didn't know that was a thing.
That's
and that's another important. Tip. Another tip that people need to know. And also, like, cook hot, use water.
100%. If you're cooking onions
cook
and
hot,
it looks like they're
water.
Catching,
that's going on a t-shirt.
That is going on a t-shirt.
This is actually a way to speed up your onion cooking. If they're getting a bit dark, but they're not quite cooked yet, add a splash of water and it steams them.
Yeah.
And you also lift all the caramelization off the onions and mix it throughout so it's nice and even. And then the steam just makes it cook faster and you get really soft onions. Mm. I do that all the time.
Maybe we need to do like a little content series on little food hacks. Because there are little things like that, which
yeah,
actually
100%. Yeah.
I didn't. So when I joined Mob Kitchen, I backed myself a bit as a cook, but learned like watching Ben and you, Sophie. You learn so many things and just like little tricks like that. And I just think patience and getting a really good saucepan are the two things.
Yeah
good pans. And a good sharp knife. Mm-hmm. You get nowhere with a blunt knife and it makes you really frustrated and you hate cooking.
Yeah.
Just one decent knife and you're good to go.
So obviously like I've been working a lot with Alfie that does cabin knives. And like he's made
beautiful.
Me some really beautiful knives. Shout out Alfie, they're the best knives ever. But I still like regularly, if I want to give them a little break, you know, give the old cabin knives a break, leave them on their little holder. I've got this one that I bought from Tesco's when I first moved to London. It was £5 and it's fucking great. It's
really?
so sharp.
Bad
and it's
knives
literally just an aluminium
not
thing.
Not really a thing if you have a knife sharpener.
Just sharpen your knives and you're fine.
There are some good videos on YouTube of people who have bought like the cheapest knives they can find and then they just sharpen them amazingly.
When you wipe a knife like on a tea towel and you get those little silvery bits that come off it, like it will be super sharp, but you are effectively, if you just carry on doing that forever and ever and ever
getting
and ever,
rid of the knife,
you are getting rid
of
the knife.
Wait, so with the Japanese knives it's actually melt like molding it to a sharper shape?
It goes, the blades go like that.
Yeah. They're double beveled.
Double beveled. That's a good
is that a technical term?
Yeah, I think beveling is whether there's a blade on one side or on both sides.
Yeah.
And I think with Japanese knives, they're double beveled, but correct me if I'm wrong, knife experts out there.
Yeah. I can't remember about the beveled thing, but I remember Alfie was telling me that it's kind of like when you use it, they don't go like blunt because they're blunt. It like the blade kind of
bends. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I think. I might be talking.
And you're just straightening it out again.
Shit here, but I think that's basically what you're
well,
doing.
Well, that's
you're
what
like
those sharpeners, you know, Gordon Ramsay sharpen the things.
Yeah,
what's that called?
Like
a steel
rod
thing.
Yeah.
That's just to straighten the knife. So that's not to actually sharpen it, per se. So I guess that's what that's for.
Yeah.
And then like a sharpener that you get from a supermarket or whatever, one of those cheap sort of like
sticky.
You
kind of drag it through.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't be knocked at all. Because like, honestly, that Tesco's knife that I've got, just as soon as it starts getting a little bit blunt, because it never really has, because I've always just given it like a little sharp, but like it's probably because I haven't had the other ones sharpened for a while and I've put them through quite a bit of use, it's probably the sharpest knife that I've got at the minute.
That's so good.
That is a hot take.
cheap knives
and sharpen it, like it's gonna do. If you don't want to have like a nice thing, like a nice knife that do cost a bit of money, like then just get a £5 one from Tesco's, sharpen the thing.
I've got another hot take, guys.
Oh god,
this one, I mean it's not that controversial, but I think I have located the best sound
fucking hell
in food and beverage. Okay,
go on. No, you're right. Can you guess what that is, listener?
That was just a can of cold Coca-Cola being opened. Will looks disgusted.
I totally disagree.
Really? What do you think is the best
That's
sound?
A nice thing, but I think the best sound...
That's so satisfying.
No, I think the best sound is the crunch that you get from a really crunchy crisp.
I think that, listener, you should know that Michael has just opened a Coke Zero.
They've got new branding, yeah.
They've got new branding.
Maybe
it's nice branding.
Coke Zero,
it's
nice branding.
Yeah. Coke Zero I couldn't find normal Coke because they only had this.
I'm a full-fat Coke lady.
Well, I'm also a full-fat Coke lady myself.
Wise.
That's tasty. It's got a new taste. Sorry, it says
Hang on.
In the can.
Can I just say, though, that is some interesting branding, because if you were in a rush,
Yeah.
You'd pick that up.
I was in a rush.
And then I'd be really upset.
It was a normal can of Coke.
Yeah, so basically, listener, so essentially the Coca-Cola Zero cans, if you haven't seen them, are now red with black writing rather than black with red writing, which makes them look a lot like normal Coca-Cola. So... Mm. Just be careful. But I think that's the nicest, I think that's the most satisfying sound. You say it's a crisp.
I think the crunch of a crisp is something, or just like a good crunch.
But then hearing someone else make that sound, I don't think is that satisfying.
Horrible.
Which is funny, because it's the entire feature of this show is listening to us eating crisps.
Crunch time.
I'm in agreement with you, Michael. It reminds me of hangover comfort. You know, when you go to the shops and your sunglasses and your sliders and your socks and you're really cross and then you come back and you crack open your ice cold full fat Coke and you know that the day is about to get a little bit better.
Because you know all this sort of like, you know, a lot of food content nowadays is quite like ASMR-y. Yes. Even though it's sort of satisfying, I think a lot of it is quite gross. That like that wet pasta sound.
Oh God, yes. Which sloshing around in the pan.
Yeah. I know when you isolate it. Is pretty
it's
disgusting.
No good.
It's horrible.
No good.
It's horrible. Like worms being dropped in a bath. Like, it's gross.
And I actually think a lot of the sounds in food aren't that great, which is why doing a food podcast is so genius. Yeah. So clever.
Based on a recipe that I was cooking today, no shade on the recipe, I just have a thing that I'm not a fan of, which I know is going to be a very unpopular...
Wait, is this going to be a hot take?
This is my hot take.
Go on.
Buckle in, guys. Poached eggs aren't very nice.
Wow. I don't know about that, actually.
They're snotty, they're wet, they don't taste of anything, the texture's bad. Also, people put it... Okay, this is your classic brunch. I also hate brunch. Brunch is shit. That's another story.
Hot take!
I'm just going to throw them at you now.
Oh,
so poached eggs,
this
people
is getting
like...
really savage
this
now.
Is your most basic bitch brunch. Poached eggs, avocado, smoked salmon... All of those things are the same. They're soft and they're fatty. Those are not flavours that complement each other. It's too much.
But what about
it's
that
rich.
Sweet, crispy sourdough?
The sourdough is nice. The rest of it I can leave somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Or avocado by itself, fine. Smoked salmon by itself, fine. Poached egg, in the bin. But altogether, it doesn't work. Poached egg would be better with a crispy, salty bit of bacon.
Mm.
Salmon is too fatty soft.
But hang on, now we have to get into Eggs Benedict. Because you have to have a poached egg with Eggs Benedict.
That's why I don't eat
Eggs
Benedict.
Where do you go?
But part of a big part of Eggs Benedict is the salty parma ham.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Because that's complementing it a bit more.
Yeah.
And then you have like the acidic, very buttery hollandaise.
Mm, and the crunchy muff.
And I've got too many hot takes to talk about here. I'm going to have to save some of this for
you. Are you about to say you don't like English muffins?
They're too sweet.
Oh, fuck.
This is outrageous.
Next thing you're
going to... fired for this.
Please tell me that you're good with crumpets.
I fucking love crumpets.
Oh, thank fuck for
double
that.
Double toasted, loads of butter, bit of Marmite, bit of honey, maybe, if I'm feeling crazy. Otherwise, just, you know, probably like 50 grams of butter per crumpet.
Oh, so much butter.
Sophie, when you go with your girlfriends to Battersea for your boozy brunch, I reckon we have at least 15 listeners that do that a lot. what are you getting?
That's
what are you
optimistic.
Ordering?
I'm
what
sorry.
Are you ordering? At least 15 listeners would be good enough. What are you ordering for your booze? Oh, okay, let's
full English.
Full English.
Wow.
If I was going out for brunch, I'd just get a full English. Like, don't beat around the bush. Also, if you're going for a bottomless brunch, your poached eggs and your avocado sourdough is not going to soak up the alcohol, for God's sake.
You need black pudding.
Get a full English.
You need hash
black
browns.
Black pudding, sausages, extra hash browns.
So Wetherspoons is basically where we're ending up.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a hot take. Here's a hot take. While we're saying it... Wetherspoons, it's not even a fucking hot take, everyone agrees.
It's great.
Wetherspoons breakfast, Wetherspoons all day breakfast, full English breakfast, doesn't matter what time of the day it is, that breakfast has everything in it to be like the perfect breakfast.
Wetherspoons is just brilliant. Great, well that's a hot take. That's a few of them.
That's a steaming hot puddle of takes.
Oh.
Cheers to that. Tell and smell.
Well, it's time for show and tell and smell. You might hear some footsteps because that's Sophie bringing it here. What is this? Okay. So, Will, come on. What can you see?
So, what I can see is some rather delicious-looking sliced pieces of sourdough baguette.
Correct.
Some little pickled cornichons.
Tick.
And then I'm going to have a quick whiff of this and then try and guess what it is.
I'm going to tell
you... Cornichons being... For those who don't know,
mini pickled gherkins.
Yeah.
like a tiny cucumber. I'm going to tell you that the smell isn't as good as the taste. When I whiffed it earlier, it smelled a bit like cat food, but it doesn't taste like it. Oh, so
it's a pate. Are we calling it pate, or are we saying it's a terrine, or what?
So what we have today is we got some pork rillette.
Okay.
What is that?
So rillette is like, it's kind of like a coarse pate, I guess. You'd serve it in a similar way, probably with some bread, some butter, some cornichon. But it's not made with liver like pate normally is. It's actually confit meat. So it's pork that's been cooked for a really long time. I think it's normally like 10 hours on a really low heat in some fat. I imagine it's in some kind of duck fat or goose fat. And it's actually a really ancient preservation technique of food. People have been doing this since like 200 BC.
Preserving stuff too well because it goes out of date on the 30th of April.
Don't look at the jar.
I'm so excited.
Is that actually from the, that's just a different label, or it does go off on the 30th of April?
I think this one might. So maybe. So this
ancient preserving technique.
It's been in the freezer for 4 years.
So rillette is from central France, I think, and people used to make it on a day, and then it would last them their year of all their meat consumption. So you'd like confit loads of pork.
Is it true that like spices and things, preservation methods were actually just to make them not smell bad?
That is the case with spices, I think. Yeah. But fat does preserve stuff. Oh, so nice. With rillette, because it's cooked in fat, you shred it, and then you pour a layer of the fat over the top, and that is what preserves it.
Are there any sort of maybe more common recipes or British recipes maybe that use similar techniques, or no?
It's quite a French thing, I would say, confying things in loads of fat. Mm. But I mean, you don't always do it with pork. You could do it with duck. You could do it with rabbit.
What fat is this? Do we know?
I think this is pork fat.
Okay. Wait, so one would make this from home, or would you buy it?
You'd normally buy it. I mean, I got this from Ocado, but lots of kind of French delis will sell it. In France, it's the kind of thing that they sell in the deli counter in literally every supermarket. And for me, it's very much a holiday food.
Wow.
I haven't eaten it in the UK that much. They serve it in lots of restaurants, but I don't think it's the kind of thing that people generally make at home. I would outsource that to the experts.
This spread is like, if you were sat on your sofa of a Saturday night watching shit Saturday night telly, this spread is like exactly what you want to be like picking away at.
No, it's not. That's absolute nonsense.
I love a spread. No,
what's this called again?
Rillette.
And index Saturday night takeaways on. Yeah. Let's just get some rillette.
And
out.
I want to
cornichons.
No. It's exactly that though. It's the bread, the cornichons, and the actual like pate meaty type business.
Who even are you?
I'm a man who likes to eat things like that on a Saturday night. And I'm not bloody afraid to say it.
This little spread of food looks really cute because it's on a board and the rillette is in a little kilner jar. Mm. You can buy it fresh and you get it in a big snack.
I'd say it's more of like a Sunday early afternoon snack than a Saturday night snack.
You can say what you bloody want, Michael, but I disagree.
All right, then.
I think it's a nice weekend lunch, a nice grazy lunch. You have this, maybe you have a salad, you have some cheese, maybe
a saucy
son.
Have we got any cheese as well? I'd love some
cheese. Oh, yeah.
There's about 20 packs of Castello Danish Blue in the fridge if you want to pop in there.
That was a horse.
I'd love to try some.
Yes, I'm digging in.
Okay, so...
We're gonna pause and load up the baguettes.
And we'll be back in 1 second. Is that...
Une seconde.
Mais oui.
Une minute.
Go on, get stuck in. Would you have wine with this?
Yeah, I might have some white wine with it. I'd probably have a glass of champagne with it if I was feeling...
Wait, we only need to do three.
Do you have champagne, Will? Do you actually?
Maybe. Oh, lovely.
Are you popping champagne for us today?
Come on, let's neck these first.
That's an intensely unrelatable thing to say, but champagne is delicious. Yeah. That is not a hot take. That's
I don't think
fact.
Champagne is, yeah.
I disagree. Champagne,
I think, no.
Champagne
my
is delicious, but I want to drink it anyway.
Everyone says that champagne like is like so exclusive and stuff, but like what? There are some things that people like, champagne. It's just like, fuck it. Well, it's not that expensive, is it, if you get a bad bottle of champagne?
Yeah, you can get some pretty cheap champagne. I'd actually get Cremon is the best sparkling wine.
Cheers, everyone.
Right, cheers, everyone.
Cheers, guys.
Rillette and cornichons.
Mmm. Porky, fatty, really pickled cornichon cutting through it. Delicious bread. Tick, tick, tick.
It does taste a bit like fish. Like, it doesn't taste totally dissimilar. Like, there's if you said, here's some fish.
There's a certain fishiness to this pork.
There is.
Well, that's alarming.
Oh, no, it does taste like pork. I got it now. It's my my granddad's apparently line to my grandmother was always saying, nice, insert wrong meat here, Doreen. That was her name. She went, nice beef, Doreen, and it was always pork or whatever. Anyway.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I kind of see what you mean. It's not... The texture isn't dissimilar to tin tuna.
It's really similar to tin, like tin
bizarrely
meat.
Bizarrely so.
But it's really, it's delicious. It's very delicious.
Yeah, I, to be honest, I just love this stuff. Mm. All the like gouty, fatty, meaty things I'm so into.
This is exactly the kind of thing I just wouldn't buy. I don't know. I think there's like the remnants of like my student life is that if I, when I go home, my parents love putting on like a bit of a spread. I never do a spread. I should.
Don't you?
But I think it's because... It's like they're so. It's quite expensive to do a spread.
Your house is made for spreads.
Mm. My house is made for spreads. It is, isn't it? it's, yeah, like Nutella.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Nutella house.
Of course, that's what you meant.
No, it is. No, my house is made for spreads, but I just don't want to go to the supermarket and spend like 30 quid on dips and stuff and only eat a little bit of each one and then it will go off.
How many people would you be buying dip for to spend 30
but then
quid?
You don't
on
want to spread
dip.
For one, so you divide everyone.
They often have a £2 for £2 deal, which means you'd be buying 15 dips.
Yeah.
There's not even 15 different types of dip in any of the major supermarchés.
Do you guys not have like the classic home meal, which is soup with crisp breads with cheese board?
Well, when you're at your
meat.
Parents'
house.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. Every Saturday lunch, my mum makes a soup. There will also be cheese, hams, maybe some sausage rolls, nice bread, loads of butter, maybe a salad on the side. If it's asparagus season, she'll roast it.
Do we feel strongly about Lurpak with slightly salted Lurpak with fresh bread?
I just like pure butter blocks.
We've had this. Kerrygold, you like
that? I'm a Kerrygolder.
You're a Kerrygold gal.
Mm.
I just love the
salt. That was actually delicious. Could have been tuna, but I loved it.
I might have another one. Just putting that out there.
Well, Will's having another one. But I think we should, I don't think you should do that, Will, because we're not just here to eat, we're here to entertain. And you eating loads of food on audio isn't fun. Put it back.
Really
put
hungry.
It back. We can have some afterwards, all right?
Will eating isn't fun for you at home, so we're
exactly.
calling
Michael's
time.
Michael's the straight man. He's the guy that reels it all in. I'm
exactly.
just trying to eat me some roulette and pickles while I'm having a pickle.
Concentrate! Well, I mean, whilst we're on the topic of stuffing our faces, I think it is time for crunch time.
It's crunch time time.
It's time for the crunch.
It's crunch time.
Will's in charge of crunch time, but sadly, because of landlord-related incidents, couldn't provide a crisp. So I brought the crisps this week.
And I can see what crisps Michael has bought.
And Will's provided the drink, and I feel like there might be a fun little like juxtaposition.
There's some serious juxtaposition going on here.
I've brought giant Wotsits.
Yes!
Are both brilliant and also one of the best marketing ploys of all time, because I think everyone's bought at least one pack. Because you saw them and you're like, I've got to try them.
These
so let
fun.
Me just grab those. Do you want to go and grab your
I'll go grab
your
the
booze?
Yep. I've bought with me today a bottle of sparkling wine that I've been wanting to drink for a while but from a company called Fitz. And they're based in West Sussex. And
ooh.
I think it was a very kind gentleman called Gavin got in contact with me and sent them over.
So it's some nice British sparkling wine,
yeah,
is
so
it?
Yeah, so it's British wine, I think.
Dreamy.
And yeah, basically, it's got some easy drinking peach and apple flavours. But yes, I thought it would be the perfect
brilliant.
Thing
well,
to drink
I thought
on a Friday afternoon.
I got the instinct that you'd bring something quite classy and maybe locally sourced and stuff. So I brought something to really compliment that. I brought giant Wotsits. And the description here is, are you a cruncher or a melter? Your favourite Wotsits are now supersized. Do you like to nibble those smooth round edges or let them gently dissolve in your mouth? I think that both of them clearly have that sort of real personal touch, don't they?
I'd just also like to point out that in the moment since Michael announced the crisps and the things about juxtaposition, his fingers have gone completely orange. He's cracked them open. He's dived in. He's stuffed his little face.
He's rudely not even shared them with us.
No, can't have it. Do you know what the description is? You know, foods are always like chocolate-flavoured candy bar. This is really cheesy flavour corn puffs.
Corn puffs.
Really is, cheesy.
You, okay, like, guys, do you think they count as a crisp if they're a corn puff, if they're not potato?
Yes.
Yeah,
what, like
I
a
mean, if you
like
can
a
get
corn
them with a meal
chip
deal.
Like,
you know.
Would you say a tortilla chip is a crisp? That's like corn, isn't it?
Did you just say tortilla?
Yeah, that's what you say, isn't it, right?
Tortilla.
Tortilla.
No, but I don't want to. I don't want to get it wrong.
It's
so I
tortilla.
Just get it totally wrong. Tortilla chips.
The double L is silent.
No, no, I know.
In Mexican.
I speak in Spanish. I speak Spanish.
It's silent in not Mexican. So
tortilla
Spanish.
Chip.
And it's in Welsh. That. It's actually a cla.
See, this is something that I always struggled in Spanish class because I always thought basically all the French people and I went to an international school. They were always like really trying hard to do a Spanish accent and I couldn't be bothered. I didn't want to like show off or be like, Will's probably going to ask me about international school.
Going to ask you about international school.
Anyway, I was just like, it's a bit lame for me to really try. So everyone's like, hola, me llamo.
And I'm great
like,
sound.
Hola, me llamo Miguel. And then they actually called me Miguel and I was like, that's not my name. My name's Michael. And they're like, no, it's Miguel in Spanish class. Hola, me llamo Miguel. Yo, hablo. I don't even know what that means.
I'm going to ask you about international school, but first I'm going to... Oh.
That's the sound of Will straining.
Whoa! Nice. Wow, party. Party, pow, party. Pow. Well, take a what's it, and then I'll tell you all about my international school.
This is what...
So I can't wait to be a dad. This is exactly what it's going to be like. Everyone gather around, get a glass of champagne and a what's it, and I'll tell you all about my school.
I don't know if I'm a cruncher or a melter. I think I'm a bit of both.
I'm a cruncher.
I think I initially crunch and then I melt. There you go. We're not spittooning, we're just, you know, glugging it down.
Oh, wow.
It's quite peary on the nose.
Is it?
It's quite paint strippery, paint thinnery on the, on the
grapey.
Tongue.
Mm,
Michael's done this before. Mm.
It's quite elderflowery.
It is. I think that's really nice, and I
it's
normally
delicious.
Think that's actually that actually has a really nice flavour to it, and I normally think
it's tasty.
Champagne,
God. English,
is it?
English sparkling wines are really good.
This is nice.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I don't think I have a very sophisticated palate when it comes to these things.
I think I've drunk a lot of champagne, mostly on like Christmas morning or like your birthday morning, or for some reason you're always drinking it in the morning.
Oh yeah,
I've never really enjoyed it. This is quite tasty.
And you never normally start drinking with champagne. It's normally you've had a few, so. Having a what's it and yeah, go on. What's
they
it?
They complement each other.
Do you think?
I was going to say, I think this tastes more like Prosecco than champagne, but is that a wanky thing
know.
To say?
Well, I mean,
like
I thought, aren't they exactly the same thing, just from different regions?
No, it's different methods
well, this
of
is
making
a, this
it.
This is a sparkling wine brut. Brut? Brut? Brut?
I'd actually say this what's it tastes a bit more like a Cheeto than a what's it. Yeah, that's what you sound like.
yes, this wine perfectly complements the meal. And the meal is giant cheesy Watsits.
Wow, that's delicious.
Do you know what they actually do? And with a giant Watsit,
it's actually really
they're
good
way one. More crunchy than a small Watsit. Mm. So I don't think you want to melt a giant Watsit. You'd be doing it for hours.
You get more bite for
Wait,
your
they really do complement each other.
They yeah, actually no, they do.
I feel we are basically doing a wine and cheese after.
That'd be amazing. Oh my God. That's what like a British wine tour is, isn't it? They just put a little...
What's
a display of what's-its and
yeah,
quavers.
If you want a good classy evening at home, guys, get a what's-it, some sparkling wine, good to go. All right, what's-it rating? What are we thinking? Crunchiness, actually quite crunchy.
We're talking about the crisp.
It's not as much as, you know, the other crisp we sampled so far. I'd say it's maybe like a 6.5 on the crunch.
But you're not
rating.
Here for the crunch, really, are you?
No.
I just feel like Will's not
it's
that interested in
It's called crunch time.
Well, the thing
No, sorry. Obviously,
with
a what's it
is the fact that you do constantly have to lick your fingers because they get all janky and orange. Forgive me for not diving in too much on the old what's it, but I didn't want...
You're going to ruin your clothes.
Yeah.
That's fun, and they're suitable for vegetarians, so that's great. And they're baked, and they have no artificial colours or preservatives. Anyway, that's enough of us eating stuff, I think.
But now I've started.
Now, there's no stopping. So Toby, video editor at Mob, he's been trying to throw Watsits into his mouth.
Giant ones, can I just say? That says a lot about the size
And he's done
of
it,
mouth.
To be fair, but he was showing off. And he's well,
and his headphones came straight out the bloody thing. But he's washed it down with a cocktail glass full of sparkling wine.
Is there anything more embarrassing than your siblings telling you you're showing off when your friends are out?
Tegan does it to me all the time and I hate it.
Oh, God. Oh, I hate that. Oh, no, even a mate saying that.
Yeah, showing off.
Come on, mate, he's showing off.
Oh, it's actually, you can just completely ruin someone's, like, ego, honestly.
Yeah, it's so
even
crushing.
Even if they're not showing off.
Okay, let's wrap this up. So they would be Michael and their gauntlet
nerve tips are vital. That tastes great. It's a bit of a That's the end of A Bit of a Mouthful, episode 3. I hope you very much enjoyed it. I think that's all we've got time for. If you want to like listen again, you know where to find us because you've already listened. Follow us on the socials. follow us. Don't follow us in real life. That's creepy. Yeah, just you know where to hit us up. And also, review us. Give us 5 stars. That's brilliant stuff. I've been Michael.
I've been Will.
I have been Sophie.
And that's a bit of a mouthful. Clan Fair Pwyl Gwyn Gilg... I'm actually quarter Welsh. Anyway, sorry. Clan Fair Pwyl Gwyn Gigog Erichwi Lundrob Wlan Sicilio Gogogoch.
Well, that's a bit of a mouthful.
Jesus Christ.
Such an evil laugh.
I know, it's also like pathetic. Like, grow up.
Don't talk with your mouth full.
Unless you're talking about food.
All the way through, please.
In which case it's useful. And that's just what we're about to do.
It's Sophie, Willie, and Michael.
And the culinary tips of vital. It's a bit of a mouthful.
It's a bit of a mouthful. Don't talk with your mouth full. Unless you're talking about food. In which case it's useful. And that's just what we're about to do. It's all the Willie and Michael. And their culinary tips are vital.
That tastes great.
It's a bit of a mouthful.